Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm your host, Dr. Lori Kirschner. A few months ago, a very interesting article appeared in the New York Times Magazine with the title, Can the Bulldog Be Saved? I would encourage everyone who cares about dogs to read it. What you'll read is the extent to which we have been breeding undesirable and unhealthy qualities into purebred dogs. Now, this came at a very coincidental time for us because recently Peter and I have been discussing and wondering what are the factors which sustain and popularize the dog breeding industry and culture. The bulldog discussed in detail in this article, and according to the standard put forth by the Bulldog Club of America, should have a massive, short-faced head, a thick, heavy, set low, swung body, a very short face and muzzle, and a massive and undershot jaw. Consequently, the bulldog has a very high incidence of health issues like ear and eye problems, respiratory problems, trouble simply moving around, and an average lifespan of only about 6 years. So how did we get here? And what are the forces contributing to the problems with bulldogs and other purebred dogs? Well, that's the focus of the first part of the show. Later in the hour, we'll be discussing the health risks of grilled chicken and other grilled foods with an attorney from Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. So if you think you're eating healthy by avoiding red meat and eating grilled poultry, well, think again. We'll learn about their lawsuit versus some very big restaurants here. Now, I want to introduce Dr. James Serpell. He is the Marie A. Moore Professor of Humane Ethics and Animal Welfare at the School of Veterinary Medicine, University of Pennsylvania, where he also directs the Center for the Interaction of Animals and Society. He holds a Ph.D. in animals behavior and has been at the University of Pennsylvania since 1993, and his research focuses on the behavior and welfare of dogs and cats, the development of human attitudes to animals, and the history and impact of human-animal relationships. Welcome to the program, Dr. Serpell.
Hello.
Dr. Serpell, the bulldog is the poster child, if you will, for genetically caused medical problems in purebred dogs, and we'll discuss them in a little bit, but of course, it's not just the bulldogs who have the medical issues. How big of an issue is genetic defects in purebred dogs as you see it?
That's a really interesting question because it's very hard to answer because nobody collects the information. Nobody collects the data. So we know that many different breeds suffer higher than average incidences of all kinds of medical problems. And there are various websites out there where you can go and actually find out, which particular breeds are susceptible to which kinds of problems. But it's very difficult to get actual numbers, to get actual frequencies. And there are no data really available for the United States or North America. There are data for example, Sweden, based on pet insurance data, because a very high proportion of pets in Sweden are insured with health care insurance. And so there they've actually collected detailed information and people have analyzed that and have a better sense of exactly how frequent these problems are in different breeds.
Just to give my listeners a feel for what we're talking about, can you give us examples of just a few common and important associations?
Yes, I mean, they break down into two different types, really. One type are probably primarily due to inbreeding. And a problem with inbreeding is that you tend to get the expression of deleterious genetic mutations occurring more frequently in inbred animals. And so we have situations, for example, in some breeds where we have genetic problems or at least partially genetic problems like hip dysplasia, or susceptibility to cancer, that type of thing. So something like the golden retriever, everybody knows golden retrievers are more susceptible to cancer than other breeds particularly. And it's a problem, people know this, and they know it's the result of the genetics of the breed. The problem is what do we do about it now? And it came about inadvertently. It wasn't something that anybody wanted. It's just happened accidentally as a result of our breeding practices. Other types of problems are to do with the actual shape of the breed, and that's where breeds like the bulldog come in, where you're selecting animals that have this very, very accentuated appearance, this very strange anatomy, and that characteristics or those characteristics actually create the medical problems. So a lot of the breeds like bulldogs, pug dogs, breeds with squashed faces suffer from a condition known as brachycephalic airway syndrome, which essentially means that their airways become more and more constricted, so they are suffocating slowly, as it were.
Mm. Now, Doctor, in 2007, article by Koharik Arman titled Animal Welfare, A New Direction for Kennel Club Regulations and Breed Standards, it stated that the more than 400 breeds in existence are the artificial constructs of human fancy instead of the evolutionary outcome of natural selection. Do you agree with that?
Yes. It's in a way, it's a truism. So the dog is a product of our, you know, artificial selection. We have bred dogs, either consciously or unconsciously, to fulfill particular needs or wants that we want, that we you know, expect from them. So with a working dog, people are selecting for an animal that can do a job. And typically in working animals, you find fewer of these types of health problems because obviously an unhealthy animal can't do a job, can't work successfully. The problem really started in a big way with the new tradition of breeding dogs purely for aesthetics, you know, purely for their look. And that started in the mid-19th century. So animals that were originally selected to do a job, to chase squirrels or whatever the job was, then started to be bred solely for their physical appearance. And that's when the problem started, because there was no longer active selection for an animal that could do what was required to it. So there became kind of a disconnect between the form of the animal and its function. And that's really when problems started to arise.
Mm. Now, can you comment on the lifespans of purebred dogs? Are they shorter than the typical mixed breed dog of similar size, or can one not really generalize?
Yes, there have been some studies, and all of them have tended to show purebred dogs living shorter lifespans than a mixed breed or mongrel dogs. Now, it varies a lot from breed to breed, and of course, there's a lot of individual variation between breeds in their lifespan. So small breeds tend to live longer than large breeds. So a large breed dog typically has a relatively short lifespan anyway. But overall, it appears that purebred dogs live somewhat shorter lives than non-purebred dogs.
How do the people involved in bulldog breeding or some of the other purebred breeding that have these medical problems or selling or determining the breed standards possibly justify their practices of creating living creatures destined to have a multitude of problems and frequently a life of suffering, especially compared to your typical mixed breed shelter dog? Explain what's going on here, because it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it is a complicated story, and I would want to, you know, begin what I have to say by pointing out that a lot of breeders, in fact, probably the majority of breeders, are people who really care about their dogs. I mean, they love their dogs. They would never knowingly do anything to harm a dog. The problem arises purely through, well, those two factors I talked about. One, inbreeding. In other words, the tendency to want to mate individuals that are already fairly closely related. And the reason for that is because they want to produce a prize-winning animal, and so they're looking for animals in the past that have won prizes, and they want to mate those animals together to produce puppies that they hope will possess those prize-winning characteristics. And very often, you'll find, for example, that one male dog appears in multiple bloodlines because he was a champion sire and lots of people bred from him. And as a result, that dog's genes have got into many, many different lineages. So regardless of where, say, your breeder goes to get his breeding pair from or her breeding pair from, you're going to have a lot of closely related individuals there because of all this shared ancestry. So that's part of the problem. And the other problem...
Yeah. Okay, wait. We're going to go to a quick break, Dr. Chappell. Let's hear the second half of this when we come right back. Don't go away. It's very interesting. We're talking to Dr. James Chappell, and I'm Dr. Lori Kershard. You're listening to Animals Today. Some kind of happiness is measured out in
miles. As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust to keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
Have you ever dreamed of being your own boss? Of having your own business? Of calling the shots instead of taking them? If you have, now's the time to call Guidant Financial. They can show you how to purchase a business or franchise without getting a bank loan, without the risk of using your home as personal collateral, and without the insecurity that comes along with relying on anyone else besides yourself to be in control of your future. If you have more than $50,000 in your 401k, IRA, or other retirement funds, Guidant can show you how to invest that money directly into a business or franchise without taking a taxable distribution. We've helped thousands of entrepreneurs, just like you, become small business owners. You could have your own business up and running in no time. Now that's a dream come true.
Call Guidant Financial now for free information, 800-430-6692, 800-430-6692. That's 800-430-6692.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Do you want to get a jump start on your finances for 2012? We close a majority of our home loans in 30 days or less, so you can purchase a new home or save money by refinancing and wrap up those New Year's resolutions in record time. Here's the best part. Interest rates are still historically low. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.875%, APR 4.17%. And we're proud to announce that for the second year in a row, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the United States. That rate again is 3.875%, APR 4.17%. Take a few minutes out of your busy day and call Quicken Loans at 866-QUICKEN. That's 866-QUICKEN, or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking to Dr. James Serpel. Doctor, just before the break, you told us one inbreeding. You were explaining about inbreeding as the explanation, the reason why some of these genetic and health issues in purebred dogs. Please continue, sir.
The other reason breeders create a problem for themselves is due to the breed standard. So you talked earlier about, say, the bulldog breed standard requiring this massive head and so on, and sort of narrow hips. Well, what happens is that the judges are interpreting that standard at a dog show, and they're looking for the animal that seems to them to best exemplify those breed characteristics. And what that results in is a kind of runaway process. So the head of the bulldog gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The hips of the bulldog get narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. And now you have the situation in that breed where very few bulldog puppies can be born naturally. They all have to be born by cesarean section because the pups have very large heads and the females have very narrow birth canals because of this narrowing of the hips. And it becomes physically dangerous for the female bulldog to give birth naturally. And this is, a perfect example of how this desire to achieve success in the show ring has driven some breeds to the point at which, suffering is inherent to them. They can't live without it because they've been pushed so far to such an extreme.
Yeah. And so, doctor, you hit it right on it. That gets to the question of ethics. Is the industry of breeding dogs to traditional standards of appearance and ancestry instead of to the utility and the health of the individual dogs acting ethically?
No, personally, I don't think they are anymore. I think they've got themselves into a cul-de-sac. They've sort of got into a dead end now. And the only way out of it is to crossbreed. To breed dogs out of this kind of situation they've got into. But the breed clubs are extremely reluctant to do that because the whole business of dog breeding is attached to the notion of these pure bloodlines, and they are violently opposed to corrupting these pure bloodlines by bringing in outside genes, outside genetic material. But unfortunately, that's the only, as far as I can see, that's the only way out of the situation they've got into.
Right, and what a shame. Are there enough people concerned about the harm to the dogs we're engineering and creating?
I think the numbers are growing. Even among the breeding community, I think the numbers are growing. A lot of breeders are not, they're not foolish people. They can see the writing on the wall. They can see the direction in which their breed is heading, and they don't like it. The problem is really reaching a consensus within the breeding community about what to do about it.
From a practical standpoint, doctor, the methods used to create purity of breed cannot be separated from the negatives inherent in inbreeding, can they?
No, not really. I mean, there's a lot of interest now, of course, in finding markers for some of these genetic problems. And there are lots of people working on that, and quite a lot of breed clubs are supporting research on identifying these markers. And in theory, if they can identify a marker for a particular genetic disease, they could eliminate that disease from their particular population of dogs. But to me, that's a bit like closing the gate after the horse is bolted, if you know what I mean. The problems out there, we can try and eliminate some of those problems, but it's an expensive route, and it's a slow route to take because you've got to do lots and lots of genetic research to find the markers to be able to begin to eliminate those problems. And I think there are easier and quicker ways of achieving the same goal simply by outbreeding.
Who is morally responsible for the current state of health of purebred dogs?
Well, that's also a very interesting question. I think everyone's complicit in the sense that both the breeders are complicit, the breed clubs, and the consumer, let's say the dog purchasing public, the people who decide that they want to buy a purebred dog of a particular breed. really what's needed at the consumer end of things is more education. And I think there's the material that's out there to educate the consumer on these issues is really inadequate. And there should be better material out there that people can access readily to make sensible choices about which breeds to acquire or not to acquire and so on, and which breeders to go to and which breeders not to go to and where to buy their animals. But certainly the breed clubs are complicit to some extent. The kennel club is complicit to some extent. So everybody's to a degree responsible.
What's the role of the veterinarian in all this?
Well, veterinarians kind of sit on the fence a bit on this, I think, in many cases. They work closely with breeders, so obviously breeders are their clients as well as pet owners. Vets in many cases find themselves in a difficult position. They obviously don't like the fact that many of these animals are ill. In fact, they have to treat many of these animals that are ill. But at the same time, they work closely with breeders in providing health care for breeding animals and so on. So it's a tricky situation.
Dr. Sappel, what do you think is so appealing to many people about purebred dogs?
That is a really hard question to answer. A lot of it is just pure fashion. So these things go through fads. A friend of mine, Hal Herzog, a psychologist, has studied, historical trends in ownership of these purebred dogs. And really, they seem to be like pure fads in many cases. So a breed will suddenly become popular. It will show a tremendous surge. Everybody wants one. And then it tails off again, and a new breed becomes the flavor of the month, So it's a very unpredictable process. People maybe see a breed on TV, or they see a Chihuahua in an ad for Taco Bell, or they watch 101 Dalmatians or something like that, and it triggers one of these sudden fads for a particular breed.
Yeah, and in the last minute, I'll just tell you what bothers me about the whole situation is the completely unneeded suffering endured by the animals themselves because of our whims and desires. Do you think things are improving or going to improve for the welfare of the dogs?
It depends where you go. Recently, things have started to improve a lot in Europe because of a sort of general outcry there about what was going on. But I wouldn't say things have improved much in the U.S.
Dr. James Sappel, thank you so much for all your expertise.
You're very welcome.
Don't go away. We're going to talk to Dan Kinburn. He's the general counsel for Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. We're going to learn about a lawsuit that he has against a lot of restaurants in the country. Don't go away. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. You're listening to Animals Today.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Desert Paws. Visit them at desertpaws.org.
Premiering tonight on History.
Ride fast, ride hard, and hit hard.
Full Contact.
Oh. It ain't no dinner show. It's the real deal.
Full Impact.
Yeah. There's 16 of you, but only one will be the Full Metal Champion.
Full Metal Jousting. Prepare yourself for the original extreme sport.
Each impact, each joust, is like being in a car crash.
Yeah.
No pain, no game. Full Metal Jousting premieres tonight at 10 p.m., 9 central on History.
It's a scientific fact. Men can only hear certain frequencies during basketball season. So the jewelry store at Macy's is sending subliminal messages over these radio wavelengths.
He can clinch it here with this one free throw. So Daniel Nathan of Chicago, Illinois, you just need to focus and get your wife that diamond tennis bracelet she wants for Valentine's Day. The whole season is on the line. And while we're at it, Christmas was months ago. Take down the holiday lights!
She's trying to tell you something. This Valentine's Day, get her what she really wants from the jewelry store at Macy's.
You hear a lot of talk about which car is best, which smartphone is best, which auto insurance company is best. You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eggland's Best Eggs. What makes Eggland's Best the best? Well, first of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eggland's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all-natural Eggland's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated fat. Pretty exceptional, don't you think? So let the car companies and phone companies fight over who's best. When it comes to eggs, there's only one best. Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-684-2260. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-684-2260. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive plus two free extras. Call 1-800-684-2260. 1-800-684-2260. That's 1-800-684-2260.
My wireless internet bill was really adding up. So to save some money, I just used my neighbor's unpassword-protected Wi-Fi for free.
It's unpassword-protected because the signal doesn't go outside of the house. Now get off my couch.
Not to mention, I recharge my laptop for free.
Mm-hmm, not free.
And while I wait for all my downloads, they really need more bandwidth. I just grab a soda. Not much of a diet fan, but beggars can't be choosers.
You're not begging, you're just choosing.
Neighbors are great.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
In honor of Black History Month, Macy's and the Romare Bearden Foundation celebrate the 100th birthday of the African-American artist, innovator, and visionary, Romare Bearden. Join us at select Macy's locations nationwide for inspiring events that showcase his artwork and celebrate his legacy. Check your local newspapers or visit Macy's.com/celebrate for locations and details. Join us as we celebrate Black History Month. That's the magic of Macy's.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. I'm now very pleased to welcome Dan Kinburn, General Counsel for Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM. He directs PCRM's advocacy litigation, which challenges industry and government when they promote the consumption of animal products and other unhealthy foods. And we wanted Dan to come on the show to provide a status report on PCRM's suit against some of the most popular restaurants in the country. Welcome to the program, Dan.
It's great to be here, Dr. Kirshner.
Lori, thank you. Dan, PCRM is engaged in legal action against a number of fast food and family restaurants in California concerning carcinogenic chemicals in the food they serve. What substances are we talking about here, and how was it determined they were indeed in the foods at the restaurants in question?
The chemical at issue in the lawsuit in California, and by the way, there's another companion lawsuit in Connecticut, but starting with the California lawsuit, there's a chemical in grilled chicken which has a very long chemical name that I don't recall, and your listeners wouldn't remember, but the short name for it is PHIP, P-H-I-P. And PHIP is a chemical that is formed when you heat chicken, or really any animal flesh, hot enough to about 160 degrees Fahrenheit. Once you cook chicken that thoroughly, the naturally occurring chemicals in chicken, that is raw chicken or live chickens, do not contain carcinogens. Instead, it's the heat added to the chemicals that are in the raw chicken that create this new class of chemicals known as heterocyclic amines. And the most common one is PHIP. And the greatest concentration of PHIP is in grilled chicken. And so we are suing McDonald's, and we sued Burger King and Kentucky Fried Chicken, Outback, Fridays, Chili's, Chick-fil-A, and other restaurants because they are selling these grilled chicken products knowing they contain this carcinogen, and yet they are refusing to warn consumers about the dangers of the food that they are selling.
And you mentioned it's most highly concentrated in grilled chicken, and you also mentioned it's in other meats grilled at high temperature. But I just want to emphasize to my listeners, it's not found in grilled vegetables, correct?
No, it is not. You can cook vegetables all you want. It is animal flesh heated to a certain temperature that creates this class of chemicals. This is not something that the chemicals are not something that was discovered by PCRM itself. The federal government has been studying this class of chemicals for over 40 years. They've developed an enormous database at the National Cancer Institute in Washington. It's got billions of pages of documents and thousands of studies which prove that these are carcinogenic, they're mutagenic carcinogens, that is, they are carcinogens that change your DNA when you eat the grilled chicken products. That mutation to your DNA can actually start a cancer project. And epidemiological studies have shown that people who eat well-done meat consistently have much higher rates of breast cancer, prostate cancer, colorectal cancer, and a variety of other cancers.
Mm. What is the legal basis of the action? What does the lawsuit ask for? And can you tell us where does it stand now?
Well, as I said, there are two lawsuits. In California, there is a statute called Proposition 65. And Proposition 65 was passed by the people of California, not by the legislature. And the people of California realized that they were being exposed to toxic chemicals and that they were entitled to a warning about that. So what Proposition 65 says is that if you sell a product with a chemical that the state of California has determined to be a carcinogen, there must be a prominent warning where you buy the product so that you can avoid the exposure to the carcinogen. These restaurants refused to post a warning about grilled chicken and about PHIP, and that is the basis for the suit in California. So there we are seeking to put up warning signs so families who go into a McDonald's and are going to eat the food, now, of course, all the food in McDonald's is unhealthy, but the grilled chicken entree contains a known carcinogen. The chicken McNugget does not contain any carcinogen because it's cooked a different way. So McDonald's has products that contain carcinogens and chicken products that don't, and they won't let customers know so that they can choose for themselves for their children whether to eat the food with the known carcinogen or eat something different.
So you guys are really wanting them to post like posters in the restaurants, correct?
That's right. We want big warnings up so that when you come into the restaurant and you're looking at the menu and you see a grilled chicken Caesar salad, a lot of people would think, well, that's a healthy meal because it's a salad and because they think chicken is healthier than red meat. But if right next to it was a big sign that said, our grilled chicken products contain a known carcinogen, you might say to yourself, well, I'm going to have that salad, but I'm not going to have the grilled chicken on it.
Yeah, very good. And this obviously this is important to PCRM, the suit, and it should be. But can't you try for something bigger or more visible than just signs?
Well, what we are doing in our Connecticut lawsuit. Our Connecticut lawsuit is a class action law. Well, let me come back to California. In California, part of the relief that is allowed is that if the statute is violated, the penalty for violating it is $2,500 per day. Now, we believe that with respect to McDonald's, that would be $2,500 per day per restaurant for every McDonald's in California. Plus, Burger King. Now, Burger King ultimately settled with us, and if you go into a Burger King in California, you will see a warning that says there's FIP in our grilled chicken. So we settled with Burger King. But with the other restaurants, we are seeking $2,500 a day penalties, which because of the number of restaurants that these chains own, could total up to damages in the billions of dollars.
Wow. Now, if you succeed, which I sure hope you do, what would be next? Do you want warning labels on packages of chicken at the grocery store, just in case someone wants to do some grilling at home?
Well, no, because the chicken in the grocery store doesn't contain the carcinogen. What we would like to do is establish that all of the big national restaurant chains have to put up these warnings, because these are sophisticated sellers of products. And just as though you made chainsaws, you know, chainsaws serve a purpose. They're legal. You can sell them. But you need to sell them with a warning. It's like tobacco. It's also like tobacco. Tobacco is very dangerous. You can sell it. It's a legal product to sell, but it needs to be sold with a warning. So we're going to start with the big nationwide restaurant chains that know about this, know they're selling products with carcinogens in them. And then what we want that to do is to trickle down to all of the restaurants so that as the big restaurants start putting up the signs, then the small restaurants will put up the signs. And ultimately, we want people to understand that grilling chicken at home is just as bad, because it's nothing, it's not the way McDonald's cooks it. It's the temperature that they cook it to. And so when you take chicken home and you grill it in a pan and you heat it hot enough to kill off all the bacteria that's on the chicken because of the factory farming methods that are used by Purdue and Tyson and all those big companies, the raw chicken that you get from the supermarket is crawling with bacteria. So you need to really cook it very well, and you need to wash your hands, you need to wash the counter, because it's crawling with germs. So in order to kill off all those germs, you heat it up hot enough, and when you do so, you create these carcinogens that then put your life at risk.
Dan Kinburn, thank you so much for coming on the show. Dan is with Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Check out their website and look at all the great work that they're doing. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Lori.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match for the dangers of today's world. The good news is animal behaviorists say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and much healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a sobbing child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there are no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you, don't give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late.
This message is brought to you by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred. Or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
Tonight on History. Are you a man or an axeman? If you know how to run a chainsaw, you may be an axeman. If you've dodged a tree or two, you may be an axeman. If you treat your friends like you treat your family,
what the hell are you doing?
And despite everything, you love your job.
Another day in paradise.
We know the answer. You are an axeman. All new episodes of Axeman, followed by the series premiere of Full Metal Jousting, tonight at 9, 8 Central on History. Made every day.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, wringing my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
It's only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
man. Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-684-2260. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-684-2260. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus two free extras. Call 1-800-684-2260. 1-800-684-2260. That's 1-800-684-2260.
Thank you.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lori.
Hey. What's going on these days in the news with animals?
Well, there are some swans in Michigan who are causing trouble and may get shot because of it.
They're,
Whitehall, Michigan, or in White Lake, which is, I guess, in that area, there are these beautiful swans called mute swans. They were non-native. They were brought in the early 1900s to swim in the ponds of the wealthy, and they have become aggressive, and they are attacking other people and attacking other birds, and they're just overrunning the place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so they are holding hearings to figure out what to do about these swans. The first most popular solution is to start shooting them.
Yeah, that's always the answer.
And but they're going to have a couple of they don't have a really good alternative. If you catch them and relocate them, where are they going to put them? They don't really know what to do with them. They have not discussed fixing them. I don't know if you can fix a swan and put it back into the wild, but the culture there is leaning towards shooting them.
Wow.
And another example of, you know, non-native of people manipulating nature, right?
Right. It boils down to people's fault when it comes to this, right?
Yes, it does. Everyone should have a swan in their swimming pool.
I would love a swan in my swimming pool.
But you wouldn't do it.
I know. But and I can mention now, very appropriate here in our valley, and I'm sure in a lot of places where there's golf courses, we have the coots. Which are birds. Coots are birds. And they come 3-4 months out of the year. And the golfers and the country club managers, they don't like it. I guess they dig up the golf
and
course
soil it.
Right. And so what do? They go out and shoot them.
Yeah.
They go out and shoot them. Although there are alternative humane ways to get these coots out of there.
Like
people bring dogs that can chase them away and they go away. And there's reflectors. There's other deterrents that can use. But,
the community has to really get behind it.
The community has to get behind it. And you know what? It's always easier just to kill an animal, isn't it?
That's easy.
It's easy, yeah.
In New Jersey, there's a pet shop owner who is facing animal cruelty charges, many charges, and up to 6 months in county jail for not taking care of his 39 puppies in the store. The charges were...
In a pet store.
Failure to provide necessary sustenance in the form of veterinary care for the puppies. So the puppies are now been confiscated, waiting their disposition.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyone can sell a puppy,
I guess. Yeah, yeah. Not in California on street corners anymore.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct.
And, did I beat you to it?
No, you didn't. But there are other communities that are starting to take up that legislation.
Yeah,
good. That idea that you just can't sell animals anywhere is starting to appear around the country.
Oh, good. And was California the first?
No, California wasn't the first.
Okay.
But, once California does something, it seems to follow.
I guess so.
Like HCA lawsuits and big signs in restaurants.
Right.
I mean, soon it'll be everywhere.
Right.
And you can blame California if you choose to blame California. In South Africa, an unfortunate death of a rare rhino. You know, they are facing... the rhinos are being just slaughtered and poached for their horns
so
and for
sad.
Other things. And it's an ongoing problem. It's not getting better. To try to protect the rhinos, the conservationists will tranquilize them, okay, and then either cut off their horns to make them and just to make them not a target or to dye them. They also will put a tracking device into the rhino, and then the rhino goes on. The horns grow back after a few months, so it's not a one-time thing, but that's one of the ways they're doing to dissuade the poachers from going after the horns if you cut the horns off. I guess they don't need the horns. Anyway, in a demonstration for media, they tranquilized a rhino, but the rhino had a reaction and died.
Oh, no.
So right in front of all the media, unfortunately, this rhino, which was going to serve as a demo rhino, perished.
But if you're a poacher,
yes.
Do you really see horns as the first thing, or you just see the rhino and you just want to kill?
You know, I don't That's a good question. What's it like if you're a poacher? Do you see, do you bother, can you see the horn well enough?
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe the poacher sees, well, the horns are not great or they're cut off a little bit and they'll just kill them anyway because they're killers.
You know, I haven't been down there, but it seems to me that the technique of cutting the horns off proactively is effective. That's my impression.
Yeah. Well, at least they're doing something. At least they're trying.
And once in a while, you do get these rare reactions to
anesthetic.
Yeah. In San Antonio, there is a animal welfare group called San Antonio Pets Alive, and they have just received a very large grant from Best Friends Animal Society. These Pets Alive, they help support the and I think operate the shelter in the city, and they are about to create a no-kill shelter. That's what they're heading to do, and they received a check for $300,000 from Best Friends to help in these efforts. So congratulations to them, and that was given to them by Gregory Castle, someone who's the CEO of Best Friends. You've interviewed him,
mm-hmm.
and good for them. I didn't know they had that kind of cash. That's nice.
Yeah.
And then what happens if you are supposed to issue a no animals were harmed in the making of this film or TV show statement, but animals died during the statement, during the shooting?
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
that's what happened
It happened recently. There's a new HBO show called Luck.
Yeah.
And in the pilot and in another episode, one horse each time perished after falling and breaking a leg.
Oh, my God. And so So
despite American Humane Association being there and monitoring it, the horses had to be euthanized right there. PETA is in a kerfuffle about that.
Good,
saying.
Good. And shame on Humane.
So
shame on American Humane.
So they didn't get their certification for these episodes.
Yeah, but then two horses had to die from it.
How do you make a show about horse racing without horses, though?
I know, but
yeah.
Okay. Well, good for PETA.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.